with me and turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 10. So remember to invite somebody to our services with Brother Sirstad. He's going to be ministering on the Wednesday before the Saturday, and on Saturday he's going to do a seminar, Thinking Right. Session 1 is 10:30 to 12. We will provide a lunch for you, and then we will conclude and continue with the second session, 1 o'clock till 2:30. I'm sure that it'll be worth your while to come and to want to be a part. And then on Sunday after that, on the 1st of March, he will kick off our services on that day. Matthew chapter 10, and we're getting at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Lebicus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." Jesus, we come to you today because we're a hungry people. We're hungry for your word. We're hungry for your touch. Lord, we're looking for you to manifest in your miraculous, to touch our ears and our hearts today. Allow the Holy Ghost to take us to heights and depths, God, that we are ready to step into. Allow our hearts, God, to be tender today. Let our ears hear, God, what it is that you have for us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you were to take a ride down memory lane today, right from the time that you started school to that of your first job, and even right up until the day that you as the bride or you as the groom-to-be walk down the aisle with a desire to commit your lives one to another. If you did take this walk down memory lane, I'm sure that it would be you who would be able to remember the good times as well as the bad. And I am sure today that it is you who, in the annals of your mind, who could tell the stories of some of your life's adventures. Those maybe that hold for you cherished memories, and those that I am sure, again, that hold for you in your memory life's regrets. All in all, I feel confident saying that whatever path or direction that your life had taken you, today it's you who stands as a testimony and who and what it is that you and your life have become. As a result, maybe of the education choices, the career choices, the life directions that you embarked upon, including the partner that you had chosen to be with, the one hopefully you would spend the rest of your life with, as it was you who in this world became the person, as I've just said, who it is that you are today. Sometimes we, in our young life, in our growing up years, we might look at our kids and say, "You are the biggest brat that I've ever seen. I can't believe the way you are behaving right now." Then a few years down the road, and as they're walking down that graduation alley, you look at them and say, "Wow, look at you." And as they step into their career life, you say, "Wow, look at it, what it is that you have become. I never would have thought this is where you would be today. But here you are." And yet today, church, it is I who seeks to go much deeper than just that of your earthly pursuits in life. For today, it's I whose focus is set upon the greatest event in your life that you or I could ever hope or even imagine to occur with that of our lives. And that is the day that Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, either steps into or had stepped into your world. And in some cases, that it was he, Jesus, who when he did step into your world, he turned your world and your life's direction completely upside down. I'll never forget the day that it was my best friend that I had, was closer to me than a brother, when he said, "You did what? You have joined what? You're telling me God has filled you with what? And you went down in the watery grave in whose name? Are you kidding me? What a difference. Amen, amen, amen. What has happened to you? The directions that you had, the decisions that you were making, the path that you had chosen in the beginning, suddenly it's changed. What do you mean you're not doing that anymore? What do you mean you're not coming with us anymore? What are you doing changing everything that you're doing? What's happened to you?" This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, "The Day Everything Changed." The Day Everything Changed. It was Todd, the 17-year-old boy whose young life had already started to take him on paths that would no doubt have ended up with his being in trouble with the law. And surely they would have had seen him leave school prior to his graduating along with his class. See, Todd started skipping school in order to hang out with his friends that were up to no good. He wanted to be part of the group, and so Todd started smoking and experiencing with drugs. It was Todd who began to sneak out of the house late at night so he could join the party that was going on Friday night at his friend's house. As Todd's grades started showing serious signs of concern, and as his behaviors were steadily getting worse, it was another friend of Todd's who was on his way to a youth convention, one that he invited Todd to come along, and it was Todd's parents feeling like, you know, maybe, just maybe, this was a good thing. And so they paved the way for Todd to go. Jennifer was a 23-year-old single mother-to-be. She sat at her kitchen table wondering just what it was that she was going to do, running away from a dysfunctional family life, only to be caught up in a world of selfish gain. It was Jennifer who became pregnant and whose boyfriend that encouraged her to run away from a home in order to get away from all the trouble that she was in. Upon hearing that she now was pregnant, one night he packed up his stuff during an argument and he walked out the door, leaving Jennifer to suffer for herself and to discover for herself, to figure out just what it was she was now going to do. And finally, we find a middle-aged couple, Dan and Lisa. Dan and Lisa's marriage started off on the wrong foot right out of the door. They were a couple who had struggled now for 5 years in hopes of fixing the mess that they both started with. Dan was an alcoholic, and Lisa, in her loneliness, turned her life to where she started getting involved with drugs. See, church, what I've just shared with you are stories of the lives of people just like you and I. Lives that, for no other reason of their own, were on a path towards their own destruction and their own demise. There are lives where they didn't mean to. People, I don't think, intend on getting into trouble, in going down paths that will destroy them, in walking down a walk that they had no idea that when the light came from the darkness that they were in, that they realized, "I think I made one of the biggest mistakes of my entire life. I don't realize, and I never thought I was going to get into this trouble. I didn't mean to be the one sitting in this jail cell. I didn't mean to walk away from an education that could have made me something one day and took me somewhere." See, I feel that I could be safe in saying today, outside of your being born into a family that was already in the church, that there is nobody that I know who in their lives who would stand up to say, "Oh yeah, you know, I was just waiting, you know, for such and such a time. And you know, at that point, I'd start living my life for God. I'll wait till I finish school. I'll wait till I get that right job. Oh, wait until we start a family. But it is Jesus who says in the book of John, chapter 15, in the first portion of verse 16, he said, you have not choose me, for I have chosen you. You didn't walk in and say, hey, God, I'm taking you on. He says, hey, soul, I'm picking you up. See, even being born into a family that is in the church does not secure for you. In fact, it doesn't secure for anyone the ultimate decision in whether or not you or they will continue to live their lives for God. Why? Because it's a choice. It's whose choice? I thought you said Jesus called me. Yeah, it's your choice in whether or not you will continue to live your life for God, accepting God's call in your life and keep following after Him. Born into it, don't care. Raised in it, don't care. Been in it for years, know all the angles, know how to go through the motion, don't care. It's you that decides, I am going to live for God. This is my life's direction. Mama ain't going to help you. Daddy ain't going to help you. You know, sir, ma'am, your husband, your wife, they're not going to help you. Your friends in the church, they're not going to. It's your choice whether or not you continue to live your life for God. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22 and verse 14, through the words of Matthew, we find Jesus declares, for many are called, and yet few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Living for God, I want you to know, is not a lottery where some win and others lose. For at the end of the day, those whose lives are they which stay under the protection and under the mantle of God are the ones who have escaped the perils of the life outside of the mercy of God. And they refused in their hearts and in their minds to be the ones to return to the place where it was God who had saved them from it. I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want to die of some horrible disease. I don't want to end up in a detox center, in an addiction home. I don't want to end up in a place where they protect the women from the bad abuse of a husband. I don't want to end up in a foster home. I don't want to be messed. I want God. I want to live for God. I want my life to be under the hand of the merciful God. I want my soul to be under the protection of great God Almighty. You see, this was the day when you made that decision in there and in your life wherein everything changed. Walking away from addictions, leaving a sinful life in the past, choosing the protection of a Savior who had bought them instead of remaining in the midst of a dysfunctional and an out of control world. So when considering our lives, when we consider our lifestyles, our life's directions, ones that each of us had or maybe have taken, there is no script nor outline that dictates to you and I the timing or the time factor wherein it is Jesus Christ who steps into your world in order for Him to call you into His. I'll wait. I think my little girl was 4 years old when she got the Holy Ghost. Five. Sunday school kids come from nowhere, and you know what? They might wait several years, and then suddenly, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And God in His service fills them with the Holy Ghost. And they go home and say, Mommy, Dad, I want to live for God. I want to. There's not a time frame. We don't. Okay, let's see the calendar. November. It's November. That's what it is, November. No, it isn't. It's any time that God says, I'm opening up a door. In and during Jesus' earthly ministry and in reference to His calling of the 12 disciples, it is we who find Jesus seeking out those from very different walks of life. Meaning it was Jesus who did not set out to call out those of any specific life or lifestyle. Instead, it was Jesus, I believe, who even in His choice selection, He sought out those who He felt in their lives would answer His call, but really had no guarantee that they would accept His call and follow after Him. Many are called, and few are chosen. Very quickly today, I want to share with you, just for a point of interest, a few of the occupations of some of the 12 of whom Jesus had chosen to follow him. You find Andrew, Peter, James, and John, well, they were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. Simon was known as a zealot, not strictly a profession, but Simon was one who engaged in politics and anarchy. What was that? He was attempting to overthrow the Roman government. Judas's occupation, well, he was a thief. And yet it was Judas who served as a treasurer in Jesus' band. Yet in John chapter 12 and verses 4 through 6, you'll find where Judas was identified as a thief. John says Judas was a thief. Now my point in sharing this information is for no other reason than to clarify for you the point and the purpose of who it is that Jesus calls for when it is, the call is given and when the opportunity of your choosing to live your life and allow your life to be directed by the hand of the man that stills the waters. It is then that I want you to know that from that very moment on in life, I can assure you how that everything in your life is about to change. When I say, God, I want to live for you, that's a commitment. That's a vow. That's something, it's just like, I want you to be my wife. And you say, I want you to be my husband. That's a commitment. And that's a vow. It's not a weekend fling. It's not just for the fun of it. You're going to raise together. You're going to have a family together. God says, you know what? I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be the one that watches over you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to walk with you in your trials. I'm going to rejoice with you on your mountaintop. That's what the difference is, what he calls. And upon your answering the call, according to the Bible, as is found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, and then the first portion of verse 20. Here the scripture tells us today that you're no longer your own. You are bought with a price. When that precious blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life, when you repent at an altar and you receive the ultimate of forgiveness, when you go down in that watery grave in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ to rise and to walk in newness of life, everything changes. I've had people say, you know what? When you were going to baptize me, I thought it was just plain old water. I thought, well, it is plain old water. Well, you know what? When I went down there and I came up, I felt clean. I felt fresh. I felt changed. See, this is when your purpose in life changes. This is when your current direction you might be going in alters its course. The lifestyle and even some of the life values that you had prior to being called out by Jesus Christ are they which over time will be that they which are redirected. Well, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go up north, become a millionaire, and I'm just going to live for myself, and I'll come out every 6 months. Are you kidding me? I can't miss Sunday service. What? No, Bible studies on Wednesday. What are you talking about? What are you working that job for $14 an hour? You could have been making 60. Yeah, but I've got a heavenly goal that my heavenly Father set for me. I thought you'd got all that information and all that education to take you there. I'm looking for the time when he takes me up there. It changed. You see, it's God who, according to the words of Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 24 through 27, pardon me. Ezekiel 36, verse 24 through 27. You got a Bible? It'd be nice if you looked it up. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 27, God declares, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I'll bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. And you will do as I direct you. You will become my people. I will become your God. And everything is about to change. See, having walked away from a world that entrapped you and walking into a world, into a life wherein it would now be God who would lead and guide you in the paths of righteousness. No longer would you be noted as a victim, nor a captive under the power of your addictions, your passions, your sinful pride. For now it would be you whose commitment would be to a God that had called you out. I am a different person. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I'm not the man I used to be. You're not the woman you used to be. You're not that person I met in the bar. You're not the one that I saw in the park. You weren't the one hanging out the party getting just as drunk as I was. You weren't the one on the street corner exchanging money for drugs. You are a brand new person. Something happened and you became that changed person. Everything changed on that day. You allowed God to operate and to orchestrate your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says here, Paul writes, he says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." Do you know what? My dad, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, why are you driving the 216 Dodge then? Yeah? They call my dad the Rose of Sharon, the bride in the morning star. My father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, I'm not concerned in getting myself treasures down here, because when everything changed, I'm looking for the new heaven and the new earth. I'm looking for that crown that he'll place on my head that I'll cast at his feet, claiming him as Lord and King of all. I don't believe there are words or no words that could adequately describe the feeling of once and for all being free. You're free. You're free. I was in prison for 22 years. Maybe you were in prison for 30 years. Maybe you've been in prison for 50 years. Maybe you never came out of prison. Released from the grip of an addiction, being able to literally walk away from a spirit of emptiness and loneliness. How many people today walk about us empty, lonely? They get the games and they're putting the iPod hearing thingies, little hear things in their little buds in their ears, and they're blasting the world away. But you know what? You look at the depth of their heart, they are lonely and they have no substance because they are empty. Having the ability to wake up each day with a promise from God that today and every day, He as your God will load you daily with benefits. Everybody likes to get a job, you know, and get your medical and your dental and your health care, everything taken care of. Well, guess what? My God has an even better one. The Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Those that are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil. I want to tell you today that God can give you a peace that passes understanding. It is God who can give you that joy unspeakable, yet full of glory. It is God who instills upon you a trust and a confidence that your faith will fail not. When everything goes upside down, when everything's turned around and going wrong, you can look up and see that it still is your redemption that draweth nigh. It's you who can understand today that it is God who reaches down from heaven and He takes a hold of your hand and He picks you up from that miry clay and He says, "I'm setting your feet on that rock to stay." I love that scripture that says that God is a very present help in trouble. It didn't say get in trouble. He's a present help in trouble. When I get in trouble, I have the trouble changer. Even if I was the troublemaker. In the lives of the 12 disciples whom the Lord had called many a time, it was they who stood in awe at what it was that Jesus could do. Did you just see that? I don't believe. Watch. Here come the disciples again with more loaves and more fishes. Oh my goodness. He turned the water into wine. He said, peace. And the waves ceased. And they quit. And they stopped. But you know what? The day came when it was Jesus who stood before them to declare, as is found in John chapter 14 and verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. Power to do what? Power to overcome your enemy. Power to be, as we sang today, more than a conqueror. Power to say peace to that mountain, or mountain be removed. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Mark 16, 17, 18. The Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, so that if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They'll follow the lives that God has changed. See, it was the disciples in their day, as it is we who continue in our day, to be the ones to experience like never before how upon the day of your accepting God's call, that it will be you and your life as it was them whose life and life's direction took a whole different meaning and a purpose. For that, my friends, was a day that everything changed. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Leave what you're doing and get behind me. But forget your worldly pursuits. I've got eternal pursuits I want you to follow. It was Todd, that 17-year-old boy, who went and he spent what was to be 3 days with a friend at a youth convention that turned out to be 3 days that would forever change Todd's life. On the very first night, it was Todd who God filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by his speaking in an unknown tongue. And on the second night, it was Todd who was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of his sin, and who came up out of that water as a baptism with a determined purpose to never go back into the world that was swiftly taking him in a direction that sooner or later would have destroyed him. Coming home from youth convention, Todd burst into the house calling out, Mom, Dad, I received the gift of the Holy Ghost on the second night of the convention. I was baptized in Jesus' name. And you know what, Mom? You know what, Dad? I'm here to tell you how that from now on everything is about to change. He changed. He left a kid in trouble. And he came home a kid empowered. As for Jennifer, that single mother, while sitting alone in her kitchen table, with her hands covering her face as she was crying, she got up and walked into the bedroom, and she noticed on her dresser was a church card invitation that she had removed from her door just a few days before. Looking at the service times, it was Jennifer who on Sunday, who when she walked through the doors of the church, it was Jennifer who had no idea that it would be God who had provided for her a family of God. By the time the baby came along, Jennifer had been baptized in Jesus' name and had been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Having cast aside a life of emptiness and loneliness, it was Jennifer who now faced a life with purpose. See, instead of Jennifer ending up just another statistic in a world in which she lived, it was Jennifer's life that as a result of her walking into the house of God, it changed her life forever. I never expected this. I came to church today because I was your friend. I came to church today because the doors were open. I came to church today, you know, because I'm struggling in my walk. I came to church today because maybe inside I'm empty and I'm looking for answers. I came today because it's me. You see, it's me that's looking for God. And in the day that you did that, unbeknown to you like Jennifer, could it become a day where everything changed? This afternoon, before I share with you the outcome of the lives of the middle-aged couple, what it is that I ask you to consider today is this. I want you to consider your own life story. What it is that you had come from, the condition your life was in prior to God opening up for you a door that would see to it if you allowed Him, God, to. Would it be a day wherein it would be you who today could stand up to declare, oh yeah, I surely do remember the day in my life when I stepped on over wherein everything in my life changed. I can tell you of the pit that I was heading for. I can tell you of the mess that my life was in. The day that I walked into that church, I can also stand and tell you what Jesus Christ had done for me. Many of us walked away from lives and lifestyles that in the end would also no doubt would have ultimately destroyed you. But it was your introduction to Jesus Christ, the God who gave His life for you on Calvary, that first stopped you and then allowed you to experience a day in your own life wherein, as I have said, everything changed. You look different. You talk differently. About you, something I've never sensed before. What's that glow upon your face? What's that conversation you share? See, the world of sin and dysfunction, I want you to know, is not selective in who it takes under its power and control. Daily statistics will tell you the lives that have been and they are being destroyed as a result. While at the same time, there remains countless thousands of souls just like you and I this day. Are they who at a crossroad of their lives, having heard and having felt the call of God, they answered it. And I continue to be the ones who can for themselves bear witness to the fact the day wherein everything for them had changed. You see, it was Dan and Lisa whose life was about to change when Lisa, while at work, opened her heart to a friend, a co-worker, about the state of their nowhere-going marriage along with their drug problem and Dan's alcoholism. It was Lisa who met her co-worker, Janet, outside of working hours, only to discover a similar, if not the same, kind of story. That she and Dan had lived for Janet's husband was at one time an alcoholic. Janet had delved into the world of drugs. Are you kidding me? Really, Janet? You, from all appearance, you seem to be doing well. And what, Janet? But Janet, I don't get this. I don't see that in you. But Janet opened up her heart and shared with Lisa the time in her life and her husband's life when everything had changed. Unable to go another day, Janet and her husband Terry decided to give Jesus Christ a chance of saving where the devil was well on his way to destroying their lives. You see, Terry had grown up in a Pentecostal home. Terry, even though he didn't stay around long enough in his youth for God to fill him with the Holy Ghost, Terry had been baptized in Jesus' name, and because of the pull of the world and his school friends, he had walked away from the best thing that Terry had ever been born into. As a joint decision, it was Janet who, along with Terry, who walked through the doors of the church Terry had come into in his life, and in a very short order, God filled Terry and Janet with the Holy Ghost. And Janet, the same night, was baptized in Jesus' name. And today, they are 8 years happily married and have 2 young children. As Janet sat before Lisa describing for her the day that in her life, everything changed. It was Lisa who went home that night, who shared all her heart with Dan, who, realizing just where their lives as well as their marriage was soon to go. Together, they decided to visit the church where Janet and Terry attended, and without going into all the details this afternoon of the life transformation that occurred in Lisa and Dan's life, let it be said here today how that from that day on it would be for Lisa and Dan an experience, a day that would prove to have left them both never the same. For it was from that day in their lives that everything also changed. Pastor, why are you up here sharing such stories with the majority of people whose lives have already experienced what it is that you're talking about? Why? Because as sure as I'm standing up here, folks, here today, there are among us those whose lives and whose life purpose and even goals over time have been they were under the pressures of the day, are in many ways being redirected. And today it is I who the Spirit of God is seeking to have each one of you in your own life, your life, to stop long enough for you look into your lives, remember what it was that caused you in your life and your life's direction to be turned around, altered, and changed. What was it that happened to you? As it is the Spirit of God that has been calling out to you to turn around and recommit your life before it is the devil who once again entangles you in this temporal world with what it is that God had delivered you from. But what was it that changed many years ago? What was that wholehearted commitment that you had made to God at the altar of repentance? I'll tell you what it was. It was a life purpose. It was a goal of you one day desiring to rise to meet your Savior in the air that changed you. And in fact, it changed thousands of others just like you. As it was God who personally stepped into your dysfunctional, your lost, misguided world in order for He is your God to call you out. Amen. Come on to me. Give your life to me. See, your life change is what allowed you to experience what this world's money could not buy, what a status or a position in the world could never hope to afford. Today I stand here to declare to all of you this day how that it was God who is here. It is God who opened that door for you. And you alone are the one who can walk through that door. The one that will take you into a place of maybe renewal or refreshing, a threshold once crossed over, has the ability to once again for you to be the one that you encounter a day, if you allow it to, will be a day where everything again will change. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. See, tomorrow is on its way and today will soon fade. But what a testimony you would share as it is you in your life, you decide to respond to the unction of the call of God today, allowing it to be a day for you where everything will change. A wonder today. Could it be God who's personally talking to you? Is it you who has been discouraged? Is it your life that has been feeling overwhelmed by all the pressures of life? And are you ready to maybe get up, walk out that door and quit? Or maybe are you ready today to lay your all upon an altar before God in order for you in your life to be able to experience a day where everything changes? What are you doing up so early? Oh, Mom, I got to take time to pray. Honey, what are you doing? It's Saturday. You know, it's your day off from school. What do you got in your hands there? Well, I got tracts. I took them from the church. I'm going to go hand around about 20. I'm going to see if I can invite some friends to tomorrow's service. You're doing what? Honey, you got up and made me coffee. I'm the one supposed to make you breakfast. What's that little rose on the table in front of my plate today? I thought we're going to the store to pick up the papers for divorce. Seems like our honeymoon is fresh and about ready to be new. Wonder today, are you tired of playing church? Are you tired of going through the motions with no results? Are you looking for a bloodbath from Calvary? Are you looking for a chance to be made brand new? Before each of you today is an open door. Before each of you is the opportunity for you to experience afresh the power that flows down from on high. Thank God you're not what you used to be. But I say today that some of you that are here are not where it is that you need to be. Let's stand. Today it is God who is reaching out to you. He's reaching out to you with a call for you to come in order for you to experience for yourself a day